This is 19 February, 03, and we are in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression. We're studying the seven-headed dragon of the soul, and we're studying his second head, and that's anger. Spend a little time on anger, because anger destroys a lot of people's lives. Anger, if it's not dealt with, goes down into the deep of the soul, becomes a stronghold of the soul, and rises up, and this person will never really enjoy life. So we need to deal with it and not become enslaved to it. Let's begin with the word of prayer that God the Holy Spirit can open our eyes and ears as to what these things mean in our study tonight in our own personal lives. Nearly everyone either has a problem with anger or knows someone that does or at least experiences it periodically. So let's deal with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we move into our study tonight on anger, I pray that you give me the ability to communicate to those who suffer stress, anxiety, and depression, and anger is a part of their life, to realize that anger comes because we have a plan. We have an ideal on how things ought to be, how people ought to treat us, and when these things are not the way we think they should be, we become angry in the flesh. I pray tonight, Father, you will lead me in helping people to see where the solution lies in dealing with anger. Not a temporary solution, but a permanent one. How to break down the fortress of anger in our soul. That we might, Heavenly Father, be who we are in Christ. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please open the scripture to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, 26, where we left off last week. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Get out of town before sundown. That's what we need to say to our anger. Get out of my soul before sundown. Easier said than done, but it can be done. All you have to do is turn that over to the Lord and see who you are in Christ. In fact, we ended last week with just a little flow of that. So let's begin. Point one, the first thing that happens is someone sins against you. Someone sins against you or does something, fails you, lets you down, disappoints you, won't let you control them. Things aren't going your way if this type of thing happens. But we'll go for the idea that they sin against you or they've hurt you. The first thing you want to do, under point two, the first thing you, now it's up to you. The first thing is them or the circumstances. You want to be sure that you stay in the spirit-filled life. You want to be sure that you remain spiritual. You want to be sure that you remain in your faith relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's your responsibility, your fellowship with God. Once this happens, then what you can do under point three is you move into the most important thing about anger, and that is you forgive them. You forgive them. People, you cannot afford unforgiveness. You cannot afford it. Let me just assure you of that. It is fundamental to all human relationships, but specifically with anger, you cannot afford not to forgive. Now, you have forgiven them. That sets up a spiritual stability in your own soul, and now you can go to them. I'm not saying you have to, but you now can go to them. And I suggest that if it's a husband, wife, parent, child, someone close, and anger has been expressed or whatever, you go to that person who has hurt you. You go to them. Now, what is important here is your purpose in going to them. A lot of Christians will go to another Christian because they want that Christian to confess what they've done so they can hold it against them. People, the reason for going to another believer is to restore them. To restore them first and foremost with the Lord to the spiritual life. Let's say they have done something that is sinful. Your greatest concern is not their sin, not what they've done, no matter how bad it is to you. You've already taken care of that with forgiveness. You want to restore them to their relationship with the Lord. And finally, what can now happen is there can be restoration with you and them. First of all, restoration with the Lord, then restoration with the two of you, husband, wife, parent, child, friend, church, work, social life, whatever it may be. That's the last thing. Now, I know a lot of people, that's the great issue, I don't want to be restored and all that, but this is what we looked at last week. Unforgiveness keeps you angry. Unforgiveness causes that anger to become a stronghold in your soul. Then we come to verse 27. Do not be angry and yet do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Well, the real enemy is right here. I know you think the person that sinned against you is your enemy. I know you think that. That's why you hurt tonight. That's why you're suffering stress, anxiety, and depression. That's why there's anger. You think they're your enemy. But if you could start your thinking to be biblical, they're not your enemy. The real enemy is not the believer who sinned against you. Your real enemy are the forces of darkness that seek to keep you from being who you are in Christ. The real enemy is not that person. The real enemy, powers of darkness, using that to keep you from being who you are in Christ. Stress, anxiety, and depression is not from what other believers do or don't do to you. It's how you handle it. Whether or not you give it into the opportunity, make that an opportunity for Satan to use against you or not. Now, what does it mean, an opportunity for Satan? Do not give the devil an opportunity. This is something you can do. You can give the devil an opportunity, or you can actually not give the devil an opportunity. An opportunity to do what? An opportunity for Satan to use your anger and their sins and your anger to keep you out of the spiritual life. Keep you out of fellowship with God. And therefore to cause you to suffer, experience, and maybe even live under stress, anxiety, and depression. We give him the opportunity. When you continue to foster anger through the night and through the next day, you give Satan opportunity to neutralize your spiritual life, neutralize your marriage, neutralize your relationships with that person or persons. You've given him opportunity, and he is rejoicing at what's happening to your marriage and what's happening to your friendships and your family life and your social life. He is rejoicing. People, we must not give him this opportunity. Now, you cannot prevent. If you're suffering from sad tonight, or if you listen, you cannot prevent another believer from sinning against you. You simply cannot prevent it. You cannot prevent another believer from failing you. You can't control people. But you can prevent what their sinning will do to you. You can prevent what their sinning will do to you. I emphasize the sinning because that's the context of Ephesians 4 with Paul. Many Christians think that they have a right. Let me correct that or add to that. They think they have a spiritual right to fall apart if someone close hurts them, sins against them, husband, wife. They actually believe they have a right to live in a consistent anger. They think they have a right to seek revenge on that person. That other person ought to hurt. They hurt me, they ought to hurt. They made you suffer, you got to make them suffer. They have a right, people think they have a right to anger, hate, separating. Some even think that SAD is what is right if someone hurts you. This is unpreventable. This stress, anxiety, depression is natural, unpreventable because somebody's hurt me. No, you're wrong. I'm sorry. That's not God. Your God does not have a system set up where if somebody sins against you, automatically you're going to be crashed. It's not your God. He has given you a system where no matter what they do, you do not have to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. But I might add, sometime if you master this, how to handle these things, it's going to make them even madder that you don't get mad at them, that you don't get angry, that you don't react. I know people that are like that. If their husband or their wife will not react, they just get more violent. They get more volatile, more hostile, because you're not reacting. You're not countering their anger with anger, their problems with yours, and they become even more angry at dealing with that. There are a lot of believers who think they have a right to this. No, you don't, people. Your God's too great for that. Your God's too merciful, too wise, too powerful. So someone hurts you, it is not your right to suffer from stress, anxiety, and depression. If you do, it's because you choose to do so. The truth is, dealing with all this, people think they have a right to anger or separating. Some even think that stress, anxiety, and depression is what is right if someone hurts them, and it is the other person's fault that you are suffering stress, anxiety, and depression. Let me repeat that. You think that it is the other person's fault, and that's why you're angry. Well, let me tell you what the truth is. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. They are guilty of sin. They are in their own broken fellowship with God. But how you handle their sin is up to you. It does not have to get you out of fellowship. Does not have to get you out of fellowship how other people sin. And no matter how much they may hurt you in their sins. And there are a multitude of Christians who suffer SAD from sins of others. Why? Because they have a mindset of AM. They have a mindset of anger. Remember our mindset. You have a mindset. And that's very important because this is in your own mind. They've done me wrong and you have a mindset that is tuned to AM, the Adamic mindset, and you've tuned in to anger. You've tuned in to the channel on AM of anger. That's what you've tuned in to. What should your mindset be? FM. Faith mindset. So their sins will not damage your spiritual life. It's up to you, people. Can it really be that simple? Yes. Is it difficult? Yes. But it can really be that simple. You keep your mindset on what really is important. Keep your mindset on what is spiritual. And you can think about emergencies in people's lives just to show you that this can be done. In the normal circumstances, something may happen and it would upset you and all. But right now, there are too many things going on in your life, maybe very good, happy things. And you just can't get upset about it. There are too many types of things going on. What does that show you? It shows you that it's a mindset. That lets you know that you can actually keep a mindset of FM. If you're suffering SAD, and some of you might be doing that right now as you're listening to the tape or the internet, whatever, if you're suffering SAD from the sins of others, maybe your husband, your wife, children, parents, loved ones, someone at work, someone at the church, yes, even at the church. I'm just showing you now how you can free yourself of stress, anxiety, and depression. You go to FM. You think about who you are in Christ, not what they do, not what they did to you. You concentrate on what they did to you, and you will continue to be angry. And as you think of who you are in Christ, you become oriented to that, and this is where forgiveness begins. As you do this, you start sensing the relief from SAD. Okay, principle, very important one. Don't give your anger, your reaction to what others do, an opportunity for Satan to ruin your life. I almost would like to add they're not that important. Now, they are important to you. That's why they can hurt you. People that are important can hurt us. So I know they are important. But are they more important in your relationship with the Lord? Is your husband more important in your relationship with the Lord? Is your wife more important than your relationship with the Lord? People, let me repeat it. That if you're home, write it down somewhere, hopefully in your soul. Don't give your anger, your reaction to what others do, an opportunity for Satan to ruin your life. And he will. He's right there ready to take advantage of it. If you cast anger into the deep of your soul, Satan will use it. And we studied that in 2 Corinthians. If you cast anger into the deep of your soul, Satan will use it. Don't give him that stronghold, people. Deal with it that day before the sun sets is the idea. Stop anger. Don't give Satan an opportunity. If you don't take care of anger right there, that day, it will go into the deep of your soul as unresolved anger. Unresolved anger, and it will rise up in many different ways in your life. When you least expect it, that's the head of the seven-headed dragon will pop up. We all have this sea, this deep, down in our souls where we cast unresolved anger, unresolved fear, unresolved hate, jealousy, heads of the seven-headed dragon. Unresolved. Unforgiveness. And dear people, if you put unforgiveness down in your soul and in your life and in your dealing with people, you're going to be the one that hurts. Christian, the cost of your unforgiveness is high. The cost of you unforgiving is high. It's costly to you. It's destructive. It's destructive to your spiritual life, to your life, not theirs. Not theirs. I can give you different scenarios about the person that sinned against you. I'll give you the arrogance. They just walk away. They don't care about you one bit. They've gone on. You're tearing up, and they're gone on. Secondly, they're spiritual. They know they've done wrong. They restore themselves. You won't even talk to them because you're so angry. I've had that happen. People are so angry, they won't even talk with you spiritually. So they say, okay, wish they would talk so we could get this resolved. But they walk away and move on with their life, go back into the spiritual life by faith. They're the ones who sin. This doesn't sound right. They're the ones that sin. They're the ones that hurt you. You became angry. Now you're in a greater damage. They've gone on and restored themselves with the Lord and are walking with Christ. And that really makes you mad. They're walking with Christ. They sinned against you, and because of your anger and your refusal to restore yourself in Christ, you're not there, and they are. So the cost of your unforgiveness is high to your own life, not theirs. The cost of unforgiveness, unresolved anger, is destruction to your spiritual life. And I want to tell you something, therefore your life with others. Therefore, your life with others. Not just with that believer that sinned against you, but others. You can be very mad with your husband, your wife, your children. It's gonna affect your relationship with others. You can be very angry with someone at work, and it's gonna affect the way you handle everyone else. So it's going to start ruining your own life. People, this is why, if you stay with me here, this is why Christ made the new commandment, love one another. He knew we were going to hurt each other and sin against each other. But we get back into the Spirit and love one another. That's the mark of the Christian. The mark of the Christian is not separation and self-righteousness, but a restoration and peace. The price of not taking care of the seven-headed dragon in your own life is no happiness. But instead of happiness and peace, stress, anxiety, and depression. It can destroy your life from within. And it's not their fault. It is not their fault. You'd like to make it their fault, and you'll tell everyone it's their fault, but a wise person knows it's not their fault. Yeah, what they did was bad and wrong. But it's not their fault that it's ruining your life. That's your fault on how you handle it. Therefore, don't let the sun go down on your anger so that you can sleep peacefully that night. That's the idea. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, Paul says, with the idea so you can sleep peacefully that night and not under stress, anxiety, and depression. Let God take care of them. Let God take care of you. Anger, that antigen of the human flesh, protector of the human flesh, develops into a stronghold deep down in your soul. And people, there are many, many people who live in the stronghold of anger in their soul for years, for decades. And one of the most ugly people in the world are old people who have never dealt with the anger that's all down inside of them because it comes out. You keep it down there, it becomes a stronghold. Anger becomes a stronghold. And it will come out in relationships and marriages and romances and families and parents and children and siblings and work and social life. All of these kinds of relationships and this anger that's just simmering there in that stronghold. It's always going to be there to prevent you. You'll always have a little dart that is sarcastic. A little dart that is knocking someone. A little dart. Well, that's that little dart coming out of your mouth. Is coming from the stronghold in your soul of anger. It's not dissolved. Therefore, the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Not easy. But in daily life, this is what we have to do. Now, many people, Christian men, women, young, middle-aged, old, actually cling to anger instead of dealing with it. They cast it into their souls. They cling to anger. They cling to resentment and bitterness. And they're never really happy. Never really happy. Always under stress, anxiety, and depression of some type. There are people that can go on beautiful trips and not be happy. Go on a beautiful trip. I've been on took a cruise back in the 70s in the Caribbean. You went on that, didn't you? Yeah, had a lot of fun. And there are people on this cruise unhappy. There are people who are on Christmas Day unhappy. People when they're out in a beautiful area and a beautiful environment and beautiful food, unhappy. Angry. Being in a 5-star restaurant and I've experienced this and sitting with people who are angry. You can't even enjoy anything. Should have just stayed home and had a hamburger. Well, that's unhealthy. Well, you're already unhealthy, so it doesn't matter. Might as well throw in some french fries, bigger sizes. Because you're already in trouble. Your soul is full of anger. Being funny, but I'm being serious. People can't even enjoy life. Men, women, young people, older people, middle age, cling to it instead of dealing with it. They cling to anger and resentment and bitterness, therefore never happy. And while the case is, and I know this is true of you, the other person, maybe your ex-husband, your ex-wife, not just the current one, it could be an ex-husband, ex-wife, ex-friend, they've moved on with their lives again, carrying none of this in their souls, but you carry it in yours is anger. You're angry with God. I know people are actually angry with God because their spouse divorced them and their spouse went off. And it's still, it was very happy for all appearances. Very happy. Maybe even remarried. Just enjoying life. That really makes you so angry. They have no right to that, do they? They have done you wrong, and they have absolutely no right to being happy. And boy, that makes you even more angry. And you've compounded and fortified the fact you're not going to be happy. And you're not going to prevent them from being happy. That's what's amazing. There are many Christians who are wrong, sinned against, failed, cling to their anger. And the response is something like, what? Me forgive them? Not on your life. Well, if I forgive them, that would be condoning what they did. I want to stay angry at them. I really want to. I don't want to feel good about this. That'll condone what they did. Then fine. If you're listening to this tape and experiencing stress, anxiety, and depression, and you love it, then that's fine. I'm talking to those who don't and want to come out of it. That would be letting them get by with something. Their sin is just too big against me to not let them get by with that. Again, people, the price of unforgiveness is costly to your life and your soul. Stress, anxiety, and depression can destroy your life. Let it go. Now, how can we forgive them? How can we forgive someone who has so cruelly hurt you? That's a good question. Has molested you as a child, raped you, abused you, controlled you. As an adult, has committed adultery against you. They have stolen from you. They have lied to you. They've let you down. Whatever all the things we want to do, they've disappointed you. All these types of things. Slander, financial problems, betrayal. How can I forgive things like that? And that's a good question. How can you do it? There was an article in the Dallas Morning News not long ago, and I still have it. The Pope of Rome decreed that there are some sins that cannot be forgiven. And there's a known radio Bible teacher of the conservative fundamentalist movement all across this country. He's declared virtually the same thing because he says that the Scripture teaches that there are different kinds of forgiveness. There is a forgiveness that is just for you but has no effect on the other person, no reconciliation. It's just an arrogant forgiveness for you. Okay. Got to ask yourself a question as you look at these things. Is the Pope right? Is this other person right? That there are some sins that cannot be forgiven. Do you realize what you're saying? You're saying that when Christ hung on the cross and was judged by God, that sin was not judged. He died for all other sins, but boy, that one sin committed against you, that was not judged. That's what you're saying. I can't forgive this person. How can I forgive them? It was just too big. Well, we've got to ask ourselves a question. God forgave it at the cross. Did God take care of it at the cross? We are to forgive as God forgives. Let's look at Ephesians 4:32. You're hurt right now, and you're angry, and you're having trouble with forgiveness. Please look it up. Look it up anyway, but especially if you're hurt. Open up your Bibles. If your father has caused just turmoil, your mother, your children, somebody, please look at Ephesians 4:32. It's a powerful passage. And be kind to one another. Well, I don't want to be kind. I know that. That's why spiritual love is kind, not you. Spiritual love. So you want to be in the Spirit, so spiritual love can come out. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving each other. Now note what it says. Just as God, in Christ, also has forgiven you. Yeah, but I didn't do anything bad like that. He has forgiven you of all sin, and all sin breaks fellowship with God. But let's talk about this. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you, remember that all our sins are against God. Now, I know you took it personal, and that it was against you, and there's a reason to that, that it affected you. But fundamentally, all sins are against God. Your sins are against God. And God has forgiven you in Christ. Can you handle that? A lot of people can't, by the way. They don't believe that God has forgiven them. Just look at the cross. Look at the view of the cross. Now, there's only one way that we can do this. There's only one way that we can forgive this way. Be kind to one another, forgiving each other. How do we forgive each other? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. That's the standard. I don't care what the radio preacher says there are different kinds of forgivenesses and all of this kind of stuff. There's not. There's not different Greek words. All this. This is the principle. God has forgiven you in Christ. Now, it's like his love. Love one another. The law, as you love yourself. Christ up the ante. The new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. Has this forgiveness? Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We can only forgive people this way in the power of God Himself, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why the first thing you want to do when somebody sins against you, the first thing you want to do is check out your relationship with God. Be sure you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's going to be only in that power you're going to be able to handle this and not have it turn into sins. The power of the Spirit. First, there's our relationship with the Holy Spirit, then with Christ, then with God the Father, and then and only then are we in position to forgive as God is forgiven in Christ. So let me give you a little formula. If you hurt tonight, you can forgive. One, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is in you when you trust Him to give you this power. It's not about you, it's about the Holy Spirit. Two, by looking at the cross work of Christ, what Christ did on the cross in regard to all sin. Are you occupied with what that person has done to you, or are you occupied with what Christ did with that sin? Concentrate on the cross, not on what that other person did. Many Christians talk about the cross. Now please listen to me. Many Christians talk about the cross, sing about the cross, roll their eyes about the cross, raise their hands in the air about the cross, thank God about the cross. But when it comes to dealing with the sins against them by other believers, they forget the cross. Don't want to talk about the cross. Want to talk about righteousness. Want to talk about justice. Want to talk about getting even. Don't want to talk about the cross. They conveniently forget about the cross. They refuse to forgive. And you know what? Many Christians actually use the righteousness of God as an excuse for not forgiving. And yet it's the righteousness of God that is taken care of, propitiated at the cross, people. Got to think your way through this. But there are Christians who actually use the righteousness of God as an excuse for their own anger, vengeance, separation. Just denying that the righteousness of God was propitiated at the cross for all sins. You know what that is? It's apostasy. You know, apostasy is, it's a rejection of what you once knew is true. You know what's happened on the cross. But right now, that isn't what you want. You want to get even. So let me give it to you. First, filling of the Spirit by faith. You're occupied with the Spirit, not with them right now. Not even with the sin right now. You want to think about your relationship with God. Secondly, you start looking at the cross. You're not looking at their sins. You're not looking at what they've done to you. You're looking at the cross. Thirdly, this brings you to your own relationship with Christ, your own salvation, how you were reconciled with God forever, how you were placed into union with Christ, who you are in Christ, spiritual, eternal. Fourth, then you take a look at yourself as a believer. What does God do when you sin against Him? He forgives and restores. If you come to Him by faith, He forgives and restores. So, you have to decide, people. Not what you think about sin. Believers are more impressed with what they think about sin than what they think about what Christ did on the cross. Oh, I am holy. I hate sin, and I'm going to judge it, malign it, separate it, and be angry at this person who sins against me. Do you believe that Christ died for all the sins? Do you believe that Christ died for the sins committed against you? Not theologically, but experientially in your own life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for the sins committed against you? If you do believe the work of Christ on the cross, then you can, in the power of the Holy Spirit, forgive and turn your anger over to God before the sun sets. I know you want to cry out, what they did just hurts too much. You're experiencing SAD. You're angry. And I just ask you, if this is where you are, who you're angry with, who you're refusing to forgive right now, and don't be in denial. Don't try to rationalize it. And I know your heart hurts, and you just can't forgive them. They just hurt you too bad, and all these kinds of things. And, oh, you can say the words, "I forgive you." A lot of times we can say the words. I'm talking about what happens in the soul. Now, what happens when you forgive? Let's talk about that. Something happens to you when you forgive. Something happens to you. First of all, anger's gone. And in the place of anger in your soul, peace. And peace is very important because it's just been this sin and this problem. Peace is a word we use after a war. Peace is a word we use after peace has been interrupted. And they interrupted it by sin against you. There's been an absence of peace in your soul. Hopefully before the sun goes down, you get it back. So, you do these things we just went over, and now there is no anger. Anger is gone, and peace now starts flowing through your soul. And whether or not you are personally reconciled to that person, anger is gone. Resentment, bitterness are gone. The fruit of the Spirit of peace now tempers your whole being. You should be falling apart, according to the world, but you're not. You have a peace that surpasses understanding. SAD is not even present. Things that you thought would never happen inside of you are now happening. A peace. Now, a little warning. Please be aware of the fact that Christian counselors, preachers, many of them will make you feel really damaged by what others did to you. They will take your side. They will tell you that you are the victim. That other person is so wrong and deserves to be punished by God. You are really damaged by it all, and it's not your fault. And you have a right to all of this. And if that's exactly what you want to hear, you're going to find that kind of a preacher. This makes you feel good, and of course it does. It confirms your stress, anxiety, and depression, and your anger. But let me tell you what else it does. It now means you are dependent on these people. You're now dependent on that pastor, that counselor, that psychiatrist, psychologist. So instead of recovery, instead of tearing down the strongholds of the soul, these preachers and counselors and your friends that have patted you on the head, instead of focusing on the Christ, on the cross and who you are in Christ, it caused you to focus on yourself and on the sin and poor you. And you're more and more dependent upon them and not on the Holy Spirit. They want you to be dependent on them. That builds them up. You've just got two people building each other up. They build you up, telling you that, yes, you have a right to your stress, anxiety, and depression, and that person that sinned against you is the worst person on planet Earth, and boy, they ought to be damned by God, and you're a victim, and you've been hurt and turmoil, and then you're so dependent on them, and that makes them feel important. It's a vicious, evil circle. Don't let that happen to you. Depend on the Holy Spirit. So many people, when they have been hurt, when they've been sinned against, they always seek out those who will sympathize with them, condemn those who sinned against them, tell them that they are victims, they have a right to their current condition of stress, anger, and I'm going to help you get over all of that over time and money. So you become dependent on man, not God. I'm trying to show you don't have to do that. God, on the other hand, has another solution. This is where we'll close. God, on the other hand, has another solution. Depend on Him. Trust Him. Is He powerful enough to take the sin that someone has committed against you and turn it to good for you? You better bet He is. Is He powerful enough to take whatever damage they've done and stabilize you and make your life wonderful? You bet He is. That's what kind of God He is. You focus, get your focus on Him, the work of Christ and God, what He's done for you. Isaiah 26:3, we read it. They studied it. This is what God says, the steadfast mind I will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because you trust in me. Not because you've been victimized and all this other thing. People, what I'm concerned with right now is you. Get your mind. Yeah, but what about this other person? Get your mind off of that other person in the sin. Let God take care of that. I'm talking about you. So that you can go on with your life. The steadfast of mind thou shalt keep in perfect peace. Because he trusts in me, trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Then as you come to him, he stabilizes you. And now we're ready for another word. God heals you. God heals you. People, I know people can hurt you. You've been molested as a child, raped. You've been really hurt in marriage. You've been controlled by this person. Divorced by this person. Parents, husband, wife, children, friends, work, social life, church, wherever. You've been hurt. You need a healing in the soul. Now, healing's not getting revenge. And you have to let God heal you in the soul, and he will. That's what he's here for, healing. Here's the real issue when you have been sinned against and you start to go into anger and bitterness and revenge. It is often the person who has been hurt. Now listen, please listen as I close. It is often the person who has been hurt who needs healing, not the sinner. The sinner needs to be spiritually healed and that he needs to be restored. I'm talking about some real damage to the soul that you've allowed to take place. And you need to be healed. You need to be healed. But this healing is not something that man can do. This is not something that alcohol can do. Not something that drugs can do. This is in the invisible part of your being, where I'm talking about. That's going to affect your physical being. This is inside. God is in the business, people, not only of taking care of the sinners, but taking care of you. Let's look at a couple of passages tonight. And let's review it not from the person who has sinned necessarily, but from the person who has sinned against and who is really hurt and needs to be healed. Please look with me at Psalms. Psalm 6. Let's give it a little twist in our reading tonight. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Psalms 6. Look at this as you who have been hurt by others. Wasn't your sin. They sinned against you and hurt you. Let's see what. Psalm 6, verses 1 through 3. O Lord, see where you start, people? Do you see where you start? You don't start with them, that person. Start with the Lord. O Lord, do not rebuke me in thine anger, nor chasten me in thy wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. See, you've gone into anger. They've hurt you, but now you've gone into anger and hurting and pining. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed. My soul is greatly dismayed at stress, anxiety, and depression. Be thou, O Lord, but thou, O Lord, how long? Well, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to just trust him. Look at Psalm 30. Think about these as reference to you who need healing from the hurt of others. Don't go to man for this healing. People, God, the Holy Spirit, is that which can get down into your soul and heal when you've been sinned against. Psalm 30, let's read verses 1 through 4. I will extol thee. Note where he starts. People, if you hurt, somebody sinned against you, go to your room and start with God, not with him, not with you. Get oriented. Get into FM. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not let my enemies rejoice over me. Who are your enemy? Well, right now, the forces of darkness descend against you. O Lord, my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou didst heal me. He'll heal you, people. That's what he's in the business of doing. That's what he did for you at the cross at Salvation 1 when you were an unbeliever. He'll do it now. O Lord, can you read now? O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol, the pits, because they've hurt you. But thou will lift you up. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go lie down in the pit. And look at this. Can you do this tonight? Those of you suffering SAD and anger, sing praises to the Lord. You can, once you take care of the anger before the sun sets down, and you can go to bed singing praises. Sing praises to the Lord, you His godly ones. And I'm here to tell you, by personal experience, this can happen to you. You can go to bed. You can start into it angry and hurt, and God can heal you that quickly. Sing praises to the Lord, you His godly ones. Give thanks to His holy name. See, we've got somewhere that we can go, people. That's what makes you special. Makes you different. You don't have to be tormented by the sins of others. You're different. You have somewhere to go. You can go to Him and give thanks to Him. Look at Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, let's read 1 through 5. Blessed be the Lord, O my soul. Wow, what a place to begin. When somebody's hurt you and you want to become angry, things aren't going the way you want them to go, to retreat into your closet, as it were. Just retreat away somewhere and you just start right off. Blessed be the Lord, I praise you. And look what it says, O my soul. That's where you hurt. That's where the anger is. Stress, anxiety, depression. And look what we want the soul to do. We want it to praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Because only God can take care of sin. He took care of it on the cross, and He's going to take care of it when people hurt you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. When we're angry, we forget all of His benefits. But if you lay aside your anger, you will not forget all of His benefits, all that you are in Christ and what He's done with sin, and what He can do for you in spite of what someone's done to you, who pardons all your iniquities, their sins and now yours, anger and all, who heals all your diseases. What are the diseases here? Anger, bitterness, revenge. These are diseases. Who heals all your diseases. Man can't do that. God can do that. It's in your soul. Who redeems your life from the pit. That's where we are when we're in anger and stress, anxiety and depression. Who crowns you with love and compassion. You know, a lot of times when believers are sinned against, they never see the love and the compassion of God because they're so occupied with what this person did that that person all of a sudden is more important. What they did to you is more important than the love and the compassion of God. Shame on us. Shame on us. Don't do that. Don't get so occupied with what that person did to you in the past, in the present, whatever is happening, that it overrides the love and the compassion of God towards you. Who satisfies your years with good things. God can do that. But not as long as you keep anger in your soul in a stronghold. So that your youth is renewed like an eagle. One more passage, Psalm 147. We'll just read one verse near the end of the Psalms. Psalms 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. I know you don't feel like it. Get oriented to Him. Look at verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I know you're broken. I know that. God knows that. People know that. They're His friends. But they can't do anything about it. Look who can heal. God can heal. And let me tell you something. He can hear you without even touching them. He can hear you without taking them out of earth, taking away all blessings from them, just getting rid of them. He can actually hear you without doing that. And that's the wonders of who and what God is. He doesn't have to deal with everyone else to heal you. We've seen that. God does not have to take care of the whole world so that you don't experience stress, anxiety, and depression. He can deal with you. God doesn't have to straighten out every driver on the road so that you don't get angry from your house to work. He can deal with you. And the same thing is here. God can heal your soul of stress, anxiety, and depression, and anger, and all these things, all these diseases, without even touching anyone else. Let's close in a word of prayer. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. Beyond understanding is your love. And it's a mystery how you can just take our hearts when we're so hurt, so broken because of the world and things that happen and what others do. And you're such an unbelievable God. You can mend that heart, mend our lives and our souls, give us peace and joy and love in our own soul that we may enjoy the day. I pray, Father, these tapes, these lessons will get into the hands of those who hurt with anger, and that your Spirit will make these things come alive to them, that they are able to get rid of this dragon that haunts them, called anger. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.